right, and welcome back to another episode of the Midwest Punks podcast.
Welcome back.
Yep, and we opened the show there with the Bronx and a song called Curb Feelers. We played the Bronx on the last episode where Brian and I were talking about some bands that were coming to Riot Fest and the fact that Brian was the lucky one who's going to be able to go to Riot Fest, as I had to go out of town and wasn't able to go.
Hey, so you had fun at a bachelor party.
I did, yeah, it was a fun bachelor party, but, you know, Riot Fest sounded like an awesome time as well.
And, of course.
All the good bands that were there. So you took your buddy Tom.
Tom Rosie came with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
so the two of you got to meet some bands and do some other cool stuff we'll talk about here in a little bit. But, yeah, the Bronx was a band that I had noticed on the lineup for Riot Fest and thought... I checked them out and thought that I really liked their music and was hoping to get to see them. They're out of California and they've been around making music since like 2002. And the cool thing about them is they also have a mariachi band that they perform under, Mariachi El Bronx. And they have a few albums with that under that name. They have a few albums under the Bronx. Their latest album, The Bronx Six, and that six is Roman numerals, dropped on August 27th, and that was their sixth studio album. That's the six in Roman numerals. Mm-hmm. So that song Curb Feelers was off that album. They described themselves as a thrash punk band with a bit of classic rock. And I really dig their sound, and a lot of their stuff's pretty fast. I like that in my music. So, just thought we'd open the show with them because that's one band that I was looking forward to really seeing. A newer band, of course, the Rancid and Dropkick Murphys and Mighty Mighty Bosstones, all those bands would have been awesome to see. But I'd like to check out some new up-and-coming band, you know, or like lower level, not lower, what's the word? Like some smaller time bands.
Sure,
you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Less mainstream bands and some up-and-coming bands too. So the... Sad I missed that, but you got to see some bands that you enjoyed, and then like I said, you and Tom got to even do some interviews.
Yeah, a couple. It was pretty cool just to the Bronx, like you said. I was running around, you know, we were trying to get photos of everybody to get everything together, and I was heading to a band and didn't realize that the Bronx were playing at the time, and I ran by and I heard him, like, oh, wait a minute. I paused and stopped at the stage and mm-hmm. had to look up who it was, but it was the Bronx, and they were pretty great. I would definitely have to listen to more of their stuff. I'm not a huge listener of their stuff other than the stuff you brought up.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
But you did get to see a couple of bands that you were pretty pumped to see, right?
Yeah, definitely. There was one of the bands that I was a huge fan back in high school is the Bollweevils.
Yeah.
And they played on one of the side stages that you know, it was a little easier to get up to and kind of really watch them and get some photos and stuff. So if anybody out there is not familiar with the Bollweevils, we played them on here before, but they're a Chicago-based punk band that has been around since 89. And their members are Daryl Wilson on vocals, Sensitive Pete on bass, and Ken Weevil on guitar, and Pete Mumford on drums. They formed during the Naked Ray Gun era, mm-hmm. so that's kind of how they met and were around back then. And they actually ended up opening for them after they started picking up, you know, big following. So it's kind of cool. But the band started to sort of play less and break up a little bit more when the singer Daryl became a doctor. I believe he's an ER doctor. So it's kind of
That's cool. Yeah,
kind of cool that he's still playing now. But they don't play as much as they used to, obviously. Mm-hmm. But they're back in the 90s. They used to tour, and 88 Fingers Louie, they went on a tour back in 93. They now are, you know, just shows like this. I think they played Riot Fest back in 2007, possibly, mm-hmm. somewhere earlier.
Okay.
But they come back for shows like that, and it's pretty cool to see them still going.
Nice.
But you become a doctor and you still rock.
Yeah.
That's cool. Sure. He's still got his crazy long dreads. So,
nice. Well, while we're talking about him, you want to play a song?
Yeah, we should definitely check him out. This is a song that I was a big fan of back in the day, and they played it at the show.
Oh,
so
awesome.
It was cool to, I'd never seen him play it live, and they busted it out, and I was pretty stoked to see. But it's called 99 or 999 Stoney. Not sure if that's like an address or something, but either way, it is off their album titled History of the Bollweevils Part 1. It was released in 95 on Doctor Strange Records. It was a compilation of their big first album was Stick Your Neck Out. And so there was a bunch of there was a compilation of songs that were released prior to that, kind of like on 7 inches and whatnot.
Okay.
But I think it's an amazing album, one of my favorites of theirs, and I would recommend checking out the rest of it. But this is 999 Stony.
Awesome. Let's hear it.
Right, that was 999 Stony by the Bow Weevils on History of the Bow Weevils Part 1.
Giving Brian a flashback to his his early days in the pit watching those guys.
My devil's locks growing back right now.
No, that was awesome. And then there was another band that you were...
There's a band that I was surprised about. I didn't know much about them when we came into the show. Friends of mine were there and they said, hey, you got to check this band out. Mm. They're called Melk Belly, M-E-L-K Belly, one word. And they're a four-piece noise rock band from Chicago. They started around 2014. Members are Liam Winters on bass, Miranda Winters guitar and vocals, Bart Winters on guitar, and James Wetzel on drums. They're known for frantic arrangements and toothy melodies and blaring live shows, according to their notes. But they don't disappoint. I was surprised by the energy.
Nice.
They were pretty awesome. At first I was like, they just look like some kids up there about ready to play. And I was like, whoa, listen to that lady's got some lungs on her.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was checking out some of their stuff online and just looked at their Discogs. They have about 10 releases, 3 albums, 4 singles and EPs, and 3 miscellaneous things out there. So check them out.
Nice.
But we'll give you a taste of what they've got here.
Yeah, let's do that. What song you got?
I have a song called Humid Heart. This was off of what album was it? Their 2020 album. So last year they came out with an album called Pith.
Okay.
And the title of the track is Humid Heart.
All right.
So let's check it out.
Arise.
right. That was Milk Belly with Humid Heart off their 2020 album, Pith.
Cool. Yeah, they definitely got an awesome sound. And Miranda, was it? Miranda definitely has some pipes on her. So.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds awesome. But they were cool to see, man.
Yeah, that was a surprisingly a pretty great show there. I was,
keep rubbing it in.
I feel bad.
I got a buddy going to Louder Than Life this weekend. Okay. He kept telling me, just come on, because there were some decent shows down, people playing down there too. But, two young kids at home and being gone last weekend on a bachelor party, my wife is like, oh, you're going out of town again, huh? Mm-hmm. No, definitely not.
It's a work thing, I swear.
Yeah. Another cool thing you guys got to do at Ride Fest, with the podcast, we were able to get some press passes, and so you and Tom were able to actually get in and talk to a couple bands, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did. That was pretty cool. There's a whole press area and separate from everything. And
Brian took some awesome pictures. We're working on getting those cleaned up, and we'll get them out on the Facebook
we'll get
page
those
and everything,
soon.
Too. So you got to take some awesome pictures. But, yeah, and then...
Yeah, surprised. I didn't know what to expect coming into it. You know, the press passes were kind of given to us last minute, and we got in there, and, you know, being able to get up and right up to the stages and get pictures of the bands and stuff, and then even getting to interview some of these bands is just amazing. Yeah, we had an opportunity to interview our two bands, the Beach Goons, and also the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool because Boss Tones, I know they got a new album out now. And we had mentioned before when you found that out, I was like, man, they're on Hellcat Records. If Tim Armstrong's around, you better
video message. I was like,
give me a messenger or something, man.
Other than when he was on stage playing, I did not see him in the press area.
That would have crushed me.
They would come, yeah.
They had a
gap in the fence. They would let him in, and they would come in and hang out with us for a minute and then disappear back into that.
No, that's cool.
Artist area.
Yeah, so at least you got those two interviews. So we're going to, for the next half of the show, kind of play those interviews, one of which Tom, who we mentioned with Brian, he spoke with the Beach Goons. So we'll start with that and play his discussion with Pablo Cervantes of the Beach Goons and play a few songs if we can. And then we'll come back and Brian, you can talk about the next interview that we'll play, and then we'll let that happen. But yeah, that we just thought it'd be cool to have the interviews in there as well, and we'll get those on Facebook and on the website too. So
yeah, sounds good. We got real quick the Beach Goons when we talked to them. We were talking to the audience a little bit, and I really wanted to get a recording, but we didn't have a recorder with us. But we were trying to talk to some of the young kids, and they were just going crazy for these guys, and I had never heard of them until they asked us to do an interview, and I started looking into their stuff, and they're pretty amazing. Yeah. So I would, definitely.
So young band.
Young band, yeah, definitely.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well,
a lot of young audience, yeah.
Maybe they'll blow up someday, and you guys got to meet them and interview them and stuff.
Yeah,
so
we'll see.
Well, we'll give everybody a taste of the Beach Goons here and let them hear Tom's discussion with Pablo. So let's go do that.
All right, check it out.
Yeah, it was really cool to see just, you know, how much people were singing along to your music and they knew the words and everything with that. So it was really cool to see.
It's such a real experience, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I was just hanging out by the pool where we had to hang out for the photos.
Yeah.
I was down in there and the kids were behind me and they were just like going off about like, oh, they're going to be on the stage in a minute. And they were freaking out.
Oh my God, I've been wanting to see them forever.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's really cool to hear that.
Love hearing that. Yeah, I love knowing that. I love knowing that people are saying that.
We never recorded. We were going to try and get them, be like, hey, come on, say some stuff. We can put it on. Yeah, it was good.
You could have. That would have been dope.
Yeah. So how has this tour been going for you?
It's been going good, man. Yeah. We had a sold-out show in L.A., then a sold-out show in Salt Lake City.
Awesome. And you're in Ohio next, right?
Yeah, we're in Ohio next.
Yeah.
Also another sold-out show in Denver, so we're awesome. Super excited. But, yeah, next show we got is Lakewood, Ohio. That's tomorrow, actually.
So, yeah, wow. So, yeah.
6-hour drive.
Off of the road.
Yeah, yeah. Sir. Yes, sir.
Straight
from here. Going straight over there.
The Coral Tour?
It's from the Cora.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. It's from the heart.
Gotcha.
Cora is slang for Corazon.
Corazon, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You already know.
And then your label, your record label, too. I mean, how do you pronounce that as well?
NC Records.
NC Records.
Yeah, it's short for Encinitas.
Okay.
Encinitas, okay.
Awesome. That's good to know,
It's so is that your personal label? Or
That's Pat Magnarella. Pat Magnarella owns that label.
Gotcha, okay. How'd you meet up with those guys?
They actually just emailed me one time randomly.
Yeah.
They actually put up to a show, I think, in LA and told us, they're like, wow, you guys really sounded really good.
Awesome.
I'd love to talk to y'all. And that's how it happened.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's cool.
How's Chicago received you? I mean, how's your time here been? And have you been here before and played?
Oh, yeah. I've been here twice already.
And okay.
First time, fell in love with it.
Yeah.
I was always excited to keep coming back to Chicago. Anytime I saw it on the routing, I was like, let's go. I'm ready. Chicago's always the best. Always treat us right. It always just feels nice to be here. It feels like home almost. Just close to home, if I can say so.
Yeah. And you got home is California for you guys, right?
Yes, awesome.
So, with the tour and everything going on, how has COVID affected your tour? And I mean, you guys, your last album was in 2018,
yes.
And that was the the Hood Rat
Scumbags.
Scumbags, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
it's all one word. I was like,
it's all right.
Don't screw it up. So how's COVID and everything been treating you since
COVID? COVID's been treating us well.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's much too much of an issue.
Yeah.
You know, just keep your mask on, make sure to wash your hands. I mean, everybody should be washing their hands regardless.
Yeah, right, yeah.
It's not an extra step. All you need to do is wear the mask and you're straight.
Yeah. And then with this new album, you also guys have some official videos too, right?
Yes, sir.
Honey Bunny is one of them. I got to see both of them. And then you got one more, right?
Matos Tristes.
Yeah, was. So how's it go about, like, you know, when you guys record your videos? What are your influences for your videos?
Honestly, we really don't focus on what we want to look like or what influenced us to make the video. Most of the time, it's kind of like last minute planning. For Matos Tristes, we actually, day of that shoot, we just randomly put a flyer out saying, hey, there's a house show if you guys want to come through.
Yeah.
And we didn't think that many people were going to pull up.
It was pretty fast.
It was a good amount of people for last minute. And we actually even got the place last minute. It was our bassist, the old bassist, one of his homies. He just randomly asked his mom, he's like, hey, is it okay if we throw a music video here? And his mom's like, all right, but don't bring too many people. And
then you brought
too many people.
influences, what would have been some of your influences for the type of music that you guys are playing?
Oh man, I feel like it's a big mix of stuff, you know? Like, I wouldn't say it's a certain genre or person. I think it's a big group of people. If I can give you some names, I grew up a lot on Blink-182, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
So, you know, like early Blink-182, I loved all this shit when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I started, I was a cover Blink-182 cover band. Who else? I'm really influenced by a lot of like rancheras and stuff.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel like I try to incorporate that with like the punk sound.
Yeah.
Kind of give it a different twist.
Yeah.
So I would say people like Ramon Ayala, Cornelio Reyna, Chalino Sanchez. I also really like nice poppy stuff. Like, I don't know, I like the Cardigans a lot. They're really big.
Yeah, they're great.
I mean, not gonna lie.
They're
pretty cool.
Sublime, too. I mean,
Sublime. I like Sublime.
Yeah.
Early Sublime.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, who else? I guess those are good picks for now that I can think of.
I mean, you guys got like that punk but beachy sound.
Yeah,
so, how would you describe your music?
That's a good question. I usually tell people Pachuco music. And Pachuco is Mexican slang for like a hoodlum, hood rat, punk, you know? So it's like, it kind of goes with the whole sound we're pushing for.
Yeah.
I would say Pachuco music for sure.
Very cool. So what's next for you guys?
New record, new music videos, and we hope to keep just playing festivals and going on tour as much as we can.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, that's great, man. Really cool. You guys sounded great. It was good to see the crowd pumped when you guys played.
It,
wow, we appreciate you coming out there to talk to us.
I appreciate you guys doing this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much.
We got some swag for you.
Thank you, brother.
Here's for all three guys.
Sir. Midwest Pong, let's go. We'll be right back.
All right. Hope everybody enjoyed the interview there and the songs by the Beach Goons. Something cool that we're trying to do more of, you know, in the future, if we can get to more shows.
Yeah, as everything's opening up here.
Yeah,
it's great.
Well, for now, hopefully.
Yeah, you know, staying so open for
we'll
a minute.
See. But we'll try and do that more. And Brian, you have another interview that we can play and maybe some music too, right?
Yeah, we have one more interview. We did an interview with Tim Johnny Vegas Burton from the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. And he's a sax player. But yeah, that was they came out and gave us an opportunity to talk with them and get to answer some questions about the new album. Mm-hmm. And you know, well, newer to what, February it came out.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and that's what they've been promoting it, you know, pretty heavy. So I mean, cuz they've been around for a while. So we talk about the Godfathers of punk a lot, you know, they're probably like a godfather of ska.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're definitely coined.
So yeah, that's really cool that you guys got to meet them and talk to him.
Yeah, we got some cool pictures of
pictures,
them.
Awesome pictures.
Yeah, it's good times.
Yeah,
but yeah, we check out that interview real quick and hear some songs and see what Tim Burton had to say.
Sounds awesome. Let's go.
Now Sorry about that.
It's okay.
So you came from Des Moines, Iowa?
Yeah, Des Moines. Okay. And I know how to say Des Moines now,
Des Moines
too.
Is Des Moines.
When I was leaving Los Angeles, okay, it was Des Moines. Now
Des
I know
Moines,
it's
yeah.
Des Des Moines, yeah.
So you guys, with the COVID stuff, you guys are holding off on shows at all, or are you?
No, we're taking it. You know, we always field offers.
Sure.
You know, we're not really a full-time band anymore. You know, we do 30, 40 shows a year, something like that.
Gotcha.
We all have jobs,
yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, careers, yeah. Yep. And most of us and other things. Some guys are in music.
Uh-huh.
I work in film and television.
Cool.
Dickie's obviously on Jimmy Kimmel.
Awesome. What are you doing in television?
I manage a movie lot, like a soundstage lot with a number of sound stages and stuff.
Cool.
Mostly TV shows roll through. I just did the last season of Atypical on Netflix. I did a couple seasons of Black Monday.
Cool.
With Don Cheadle on just Hollywood stuff. Man,
that's awesome.
You know,
cool. Yeah, but, we're a PBS station, so
yeah,
dealing with a little bit of local kind of stuff like that, but it's pretty cool. Yeah,
but we've been busy.
Yeah, yeah.
The film industry is like,
yeah,
we've been going for a year and a half, and they've got enough money that they can keep everybody safe as possible.
For sure.
I get tested 3 times a week,
really?
Generally speaking, okay, by the productions.
Yep.
So, you know, there's COVID remediation teams and COVID blah, 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 blah. So,
for sure. Yeah.
That industry has the money to spend and keep going.
For sure, yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, they should be doing it in the grocery industry too.
Yeah.
He's
working on a couple of documentaries for Star Wars stuff. He's a 501st member, so
Star Wars.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so we're both kind of in that film industry too. But so back to the band. So your 11th studio album just came out. Was When God Was Great.
Yeah.
And was that one? Your first album on Hellcat.
Yes.
So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about what inspired that album? Kind of what?
I mean, you know, wanting to make an album.
Just wanting to make one? Okay.
There was this worldwide pandemic I'm not sure if you were aware of, and nobody was doing anything.
Yeah, uh-huh, right.
So we managed to kind of get together and I think feel safe about making the record.
Sure.
And, you know, everybody's at this point pretty used to working remotely. Because of technology, it's not a new thing that you can write songs and do them in GarageBand or whatever
for
and
sure,
share
yeah.
them to get the demos going and the songwriting process going. So we already were doing that for the last few albums.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, you know, because we're spread out all over the country.
I was going to say you're in Florida, right? So the rest of the
I'm
band.
Not in Florida. I've been in Los Angeles
in
for
LA now. Okay.
7 years
okay,
or something.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do have a house for sale in Florida, though,
okay,
if you're interested. But yeah, you could. It's
there you
pretty
go.
Big.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, and so, but I guess the different thing about it was that we brought all our friends in, like a lot of different people to collaborate with us.
Awesome. Yeah.
It was kind of next man up, you know.
Uh-huh.
If whoever had a saxophone in the studio, grab your sax or
awesome.
Play. A lot of people played guitar. A lot of people sang.
Cool.
We just brought in friends of ours. Some of them you've heard of. Some of them you haven't.
Sure. How much from the original band came back for the album?
Everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like some. There's Boston members from the past that aren't on the album, but Nate's on it, our original guitar player, Roman, our old sax player, even guys that just play have sat in with us and stuff, and then obviously a lot of people from other bands.
Cool, yeah, it's one of the tracks of the Final Parade,
right.
Obviously all the people on it, an epic track, that's really cool. I mean, you got members from several bakers on there.
I was the one that got Angelo from Fishbone.
Yeah,
he's
that's
not
cool.
easy to
yeah.
track down.
Okay.
He's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Yeah, they're great. He's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many years, we were much happier. drop. To be fair to him, that's not his fault. Woo! Let's let the merry go round. Let's hear the musical cheers. Let's get it back up off the ground. Even if no one still cares, and he still hears the noise from the brigade. So he's not gonna take his place in the final parade. Hit the town, burn it to the ground, to the rock city beat. The church was hoping that the midnight mass was packed from the front to the back. West Coast USA, we know where it's at. We play around with a punk rock reggae sound, 'cause sometimes dancing is all. We were skanking all over the world.
how's your relationship with Hellcat actually developed?
I mean, we know those guys, okay. You know. Obviously, just, you know, we crossed paths quite a bit, and sure. We know Tim, uh-huh. and I've worked with him in other ways, like banking toured with those guys a lot. Just never really worked out, you know, that we would do something on that label.
Sure.
But this time it did.
Awesome. Cool. Well, anything else we can look forward to? Any new albums coming up, or anything you guys are
you know,
to do
we don't have a whole lot on the horizon.
No?
I don't know if people are starting to back off on booking stuff because of the surge
variant,
and everything.
Yeah.
We booked like a bunch of shows this month, and then don't really have much after that.
Cool.
So you know, we like each other as a band, you know, which might be unusual, but like a big part of us still being a band is the fact that we like to hang out and get together.
For sure.
So we always field offers, and like I said, guys have other obligations and stuff, but anytime we're able to do a show, we'll do it. And we'll travel, you know, whatever it is. We're good with travel, so, you know.
Where do you see ska in the next 10 years? Do you see any resurging of music?
A fourth wave coming back?
I don't know. I mean,
a little bit, maybe?
I live in Los Angeles. Ska's huge there.
It's starting to pick up.
I mean, and like, you know, there's like a gigantic, like, I don't know if this is the right thing to say, and I don't mean to, like, politically correctly speaking, but it's like there's a huge Latino ska.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, and you don't even, but I don't know if that's really what drives it or not. But because, like, Hepcat will play those shows too. But there'll be, like, shows where there's, like, 10,000 kids.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't barely even know what's happening,
it's
you know?
It's like BPMs or something.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of, like, Hispanic type of music, I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same
flow. There's, yeah.
I mean, there's big scenes everywhere.
All right, well, that wraps up the show today. A little bit easier for us in the studio, having some interviews to throw in there from the bands. And like I said, we're hoping to be able to do this more often as we can get out with some shows and reach out to more people and get kind of this other format of show down. And, you know, Tom's down to try and do the same when he gets out to some shows.
Definitely. Thanks again to Tom for helping us out with Riot Fest and Todd Carl being out. That was pretty cool. Might see him around more. So.
Yeah, and then, you know, he seems to make it out to more shows. We're kind of at different stages. Brian's about to have a baby.
Yeah.
I got a baby and a toddler, and then you said Tom's kids are
all graduating high school or close to.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all we might not all get out to the same show together very often, but when we get out, you know, whether it's alone or together, we'll try and get some interviews and get some cool stuff like this that we can play on the show. So hope everybody enjoyed that. This kind of wraps up our Riot Fest. The last one kind of previewed it, and now this episode kind of wraps it up for us. And we'll get some cool pictures and things on the Facebook page and on the website. And just make sure you follow us on Midwest Punks, and you follow us on Facebook and check out some past episodes. Get in touch with us if you have any ideas for stuff we should cover, and then
you got a show coming up you want us to come out, definitely let us know.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And then so make sure you guys do all that, and we're gonna go ahead and play out with another song. Brian, there was another band you saw at Riot Fest that was
It's the first time I've ever seen them live, and you know me, I'm a huge fan of the first wave of ska. So this is a ska reggae band from Southern California that started in 1989 called Hepcat. And if you're not familiar with them, they were around in the 90s, but their sound is a lot more along the lines of the first wave sound of like Desmond Dekker and early Bob Marley and the Wailers, you know. I wanted to, it was probably my highlight of the whole weekend was getting to see them, just the mellow, everybody skanking around in this giant crowd of just chill 60s style ska playing. It was pretty great.
A little different than I think Slipknot was there.
Probably
different vibes.
Yeah, there. Definitely. Yeah. You're not getting punched in the head at that show.
Nice. I think I've heard Hepcat before, and their name sounds so familiar. But if you're like me, then we'll play out with a song, and hopefully it'll jog some memories for you. So, what song are you gonna play out with, Brian?
I'm gonna play out with "Dance with Me."
All right, sounds good. And then we'll be back in with another episode soon. And until then, follow us and check out some past episodes.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Push it, shake it, baby, like I like it.